When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signals, takes the snap, looks left, pops it up, first is wide open, touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone!
Touchdown!
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, that line horns on the right, babe! Not that Mackey's back in town.
Look out, old Mackey's back.
Yeah, why not?
Chris McMichael.
Is it Monday already?
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah. The Fan. McMonagle here with you as per usual. I got you till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. Alex on the other side, we got you. 888-808-1019 888-808-1019 on this Monday morning, the first day of July. That's right. Already the first day of July. Flying by. Kids got camp. I'm already switching to summer hours. Sweating like a pig. Yeah, Marash, I turn down a hot dog occasionally, you bum. All right. How we doing on this Monday morning? Because we've got two baseball teams. Both of them, it seems like we got two new trends. The Mets lost their first series in a month, and the Yankees didn't lose a series for the first time in a month. It's crazy. Hopefully they can put June behind him, except for the Yankees at least, and except for Aaron Judge, of course, who's just a monster. We're going to get to Judge and how he's 1 point behind Rengifo, who I wanted the Yankees to trade for. 1 point behind Rengifo from being the current Triple Crown candidate, as he is just a beast. Why they continue to pitch to him, I have no idea. Even in the first inning, what are you doing? Don't even throw it to him. The guy's a monster. But we'll start with the Mets as... For the first time now, since Grimace, since the meeting, since what I really deem, and you know my opinion's all that matters, at least from 1 to 5 this morning, my turning point of the season has been the J.D. Martinez home run against the Marlins. That walk-off home run that stopped them from losing that series, kept the momentum that they built with that last game in Philadelphia, the Washington sweep. There was momentum being built there, and if they would have lost that game and lost that series to the lowly Marlins, I don't know if this all plays out the same. But since that moment, this team has been unbelievable. The offense has been absolutely dynamic, and you're still seeing signs of it, whether it's coming from behind in this game, whether it's getting out to the 6-run lead in the second game of this series against the Astros. But what's killed them is what is their obvious weakness, two-pronged weakness to their pitching. Because as good as their starting pitching has been, as good as Luis Severino has been, and, you know, for the most part, as good as Manaea has been, and as surprising as overall the starting rotation has been, what the one thing they don't do, even on their good days, is get deep into games. The New York Mets, now, Quintana has had his moments up and down, sure. McGill already out of the rotation. I'm not saying it's perfect. But for the most part, heading into this season, heading into what we expected to be this sort of try and compete while building the franchise up, the starting rotation was going to be the glaring weakness. They added some additions in the bullpen. The lineup was supposed to carry them. But this rotation was clearly going to be their weakness, especially with Senga missing. And he's missed way more time than anyone expected. And yet they've been able to cover you on some aspects. They've pitched far better. Severino looks like his old self. Maybe not striking out as many guys over the course of the year, but still looking pretty damn good. Manaea's had a bounce back year from what he's been over the last couple. Even Peterson comes back and he's relatively okay, striking out the 3 in a row against the Yankees. I know that in the first to avoid a bases loaded jam, but even at their best, this group doesn't get deep into games. And right now, this bullpen, and a lot because of injuries, whether it's Reed Foley, Brooks Raley, Drew Smith now, and now Diaz being gone. And this was the first time in this stretch where you could really see the absence of Diaz along with the other injuries and just the ineffectiveness of Diekman and Reed Garrett to throw strikes. I mean, Reed Garrett went from one of the best relievers in baseball, one of the talking points of the season, the feel-good story of the year for the Mets, as Reed Garrett's established himself as this all-world reliever. He's completely fallen off the face of the earth. I mean, he can't throw a strike. Diekman's been terrible. Ottavino, off to a good start this year, has been miserable now for a month. And this bullpen is clearly the weakness of a team that, since whatever moment you want to choose, since, oh my God, and we'll get to that in a second. I did speak to you guys yesterday morning, so I gave you my take on that. But I'll give it to you again here on a Monday morning. But whatever moment you deem where this team turned it around, and I still believe in this team. I don't think this is, I mean, we're going to find out, right? Because it's always about the bounce back. It's always about the bounce back. Whether it was the bounce back of losing that first game after the long winning streak against Texas and how they were going to bounce back against the Cubs in Imanaga, and they answered that question in resounding fashion. And now having lost their first series to the Astros, who are the only team hotter than them in the month of June, who are now obviously with the pedigree of a champion and a pedigree of a team that's owned both the decade and the American League, they have finally established themselves and started to bounce back and do what they do and figure out ways to win games, even though they're dealing with some injuries and their starting pitching is still kind of a mess. But the lineup is starting to come around. So you lost to the hottest team in baseball, right? You were the hottest team in baseball. You lost to the hottest team in baseball. It's a frustrating way to lose it, especially with your bullpen in really disarray and getting, you know, blowing a 6-1 lead and then giving up 5 runs in the ninth. I mean, you got the newest Met, Matt Festa, out there to take the brunt of it in the 11th inning. And this game was really lost when they couldn't score more runs in the 10th. You have to win the game right then and there. You get the Nimmo double to tie the game in the 10th. You have got to figure out a way. You have to figure out a way. And for all of you, you know, I know you Yankee haters and everything, where's the bunt? You ever notice that? Nobody bunts in extra innings. It's not just the Yankees. Nobody bunts. But they have to figure out a way to get that run there because you know where this bullpen is. They are not going to get through the rest of that game. You don't, maybe not 5 runs you're expecting, but the bullpen is in such a way right now, and the offense has been able to outslug all of the other issues. Whether it is the starters not going deep enough, whether it is this bullpen, whatever it's been, this offense has been on such a run that you've been able to outslug, outscore, outdominate any issue you might have had. And for the first time these last two games, the main issue of this team, especially without Diaz during the streak, and it's amazing you got through the first handful of games without having it come up and bite you. And yet you knew when he got suspended, you knew when he came in and with all that gook on his hands, you knew that was going to be a severe penalty. You knew 10 games without him in the state, I think you lost Reed Foley that same day. And then Drew Smith gets hurt pretty much in that game. So you knew the bullpen was going to be an issue for this team. And yet they still kind of slugged their way through it up until Friday night. And now it has come back to bite them. And as this ownership and as David Stearns is going to try and figure out what to do moving forward, them along with every other freaking team who's got to compete, put the Yankees on that list as well. Every other team that wants to add, every other team that's looking to contend, every other team that wants to win, every other team that's going to try and better themselves for the stretch run, they're going to be looking for bullpen help. And what's fascinating is this idea of the sell and buy at the same time. And I have a real problem with it. I have a real problem with the idea that the Met fan thinks, or that this group thinks, that Stearns thinks, as I'm seeing it over and over again, the idea that they have this plethora or this depth at the starting in the starting pitching because Budo and Christian Scott, who are clearly just, you know, proven winners, that because of the depth in this rotation, that they can still trade away a Severino or they can trade away a Manaea or whoever else. Specifically Severino, to help this bullpen. I mean, it's going to come down to how much this team really and how much Stearns and this ownership group believes in Stearns, believes in this team. Because if I truly believe in this team, if I've watched this team play over the last month, and I've watched the way they've played, and I've watched the way this offense has responded, and I know they're in dire straits for some bullpen help. Now, you'll see if Diaz comes back and at least helps it a little bit. I mean, he was back to his old ways, but obviously now the whole, did he need the sticky stuff to get back? I mean, he's terrible. He gets hurt. He spends time in the minor leagues. He comes back. Suddenly he's pitching like his old self again, and he gets banged a couple of relief appearances in. The question is, well, obviously, was he trying to get an edge? Did he need the sticky stuff to get the movement back and the feel for his pitches back? Or did he work it out in the minor leagues, just need some time away, whatever the case may be? But the question is, if you are confident in this group, and I think the next, as you look forward here, this four-game set and this seven, eight-game road trip against the Nationals and the Pirates, who they're competing with in the National League wildcard, and you follow it up by a homestand against the Nationals as well. I mean, you're playing the Nationals seven times in the next 11 games. This stretch right here before the All-Star break will tell you what you need to know. And if this team continues to play like this, and the only glaring weakness is that your starting rotation doesn't go deep enough and that your bullpen's a mess, I don't know how, if they continue to play this way and the offense shows you what it shows you and Vientos keeps doing what he's doing and Nimmo, who's been hot, and Lindor, who gets on base every other time to lead off the game, he's been incredible since they moved him to the top of the order. If you believe in this group, don't give me this nonsense that I can kind of play this half-assed game of buying and selling. It's one or the other. Do you believe in this group enough to change your thought process, not hoard all these prospects that you believe in, that you're going to build a sustained winning culture, and or are you going to feed that beast, believe in it, allow Stearns to build this team the way he built it in Milwaukee, have his fingerprints all over it, be a David Stearns type team, let him figure out how he wants to build it, bring back prospects, or hold on to the ones you've got, or do you trade prospects to try and get a reliever? I'm not giving up Severino, who's their best starting pitcher, in the name of I've got depth? In the name of I have Senga coming back? When? And what is he going to look like? And how long will he be back? You can't act like you have answers to these questions. You can't act like Scott is some sort of guaranteed guy to come back into this rotation and perform. I am not. If I believe in this team, and if they show me, and look at the rest of the National League. Look at who they're competing with. They're competing with the Nationals. They're competing with the Pirates. They're competing with the Reds. They're competing with the Cardinals. Look at these teams. All right, yes, they're competing with the Dodgers. They're competing with the Phillies. They're competing with the Braves. For a championship, that's who they're competing with. But we've seen, whether it's the Diamondbacks, and I give you, you know me, I love my MLB playoffs or a crapshoot. I got it tattooed somewhere on me. I'll leave it up to your imagination. But MLB playoffs is a crapshoot. And if I believe in this group, I'm not robbing Peter to pay Paul. I am not taking away from my rotation so I can bolster my bullpen, or I feel better about bolstering my bullpen because I've acquired assets from my starting rotation. I'm not doing it. I'm not letting Severino walk out this door. He's the only guy I fully trust to maybe give me some depth, give me a dominant performance. Where else are you getting it from? The postseason series, what's he getting? You get into a wild card series. Who's starting game one right now? You think you got depth to show me the game one starter? I don't. So it comes down to brass tacks. What do you think about this team? Is the last month a bit of an aberration and the offense has just been too impressive and it can't sustain itself, and ultimately you've had a plan and this hasn't shown you enough to divert from it? Or do things change, especially in a New York market, like Stern said, and you have no choice but to sell off some of your pieces inside your farm system to go get what you need to bolster this team? Because I'll tell you right now, if the next 2 weeks against the Nationals, the Pirates, the Nationals, and the Rockies go the way it's gone, and they beat up on these teams the way they've beat up on these teams for the last month, and they put themselves 5-6 games over 500 heading into the All-Star break, coming out to a four-game series in Miami against the Marlins, there's only one thing to do. And that's never have another concert at Citi Field ever again. What are you people, nuts? That was the worst thing I've ever seen. But there's nothing else to do but add and bolster this bullpen. And yes, let's get to it real quick, because I know that's the talking point. I even listened to Evan's Rico Bronya for half a second, and that's what he's yelling about. Everyone's going to blame the concert. Everyone's going to blame the concert. Who cares? First off, who cares? You lost 2 out of 3 to the hottest team in baseball. You didn't blow this. You haven't blown all your goodwill. Yes, you're now a game under 500. And yes, you've lost 2 games since what I deem to be the ridiculous music video that was shot at Citi Field the other night. Yeah, it was dumb. There's no other way to put it. And here's the other thing, too. If you're going to be like Evan and I'll say, oh, it has nothing to do with it. We shouldn't blame that. It's so stupid. It's so silly. You can't have it both ways. You can't go on and on about Grimace. You can't wear the Grimace outfit out in the outfield. You can't wear it throughout the stands. You can't have Grimace chugging beers during a rain delay and get all hopped up on your Grimace takes and your OMG song takes and have all this fun. And then when people get on you for going over the top and putting out a ridiculous concert Friday night, watching it on Apple TV, watching him lip sync his song, watching Pete Alonso clap off beat, watching the entire team at the mound giving a concert. If you want to embrace the oddities, if you want to have the fun, if you want to wrap yourself in the Grimace story and the music story, when you do something like that and it follows by 2 losses and typical Met losses, well, you got to eat it. That's it. You want to make it about Grimace? If you want to make it about Grimace, if you want every question in the postgame to be about Grimace, if you want fans in there drinking beers, chugging beers in a Grimace costume during the rain delay, if it's about Grimace, then it's about Grimace. If it's about the song, it's about the song. And when you lose, it's about who let the dogs out. That's how it works. It's all nonsense. And that's why I didn't like the Grimace thing. That's why I've been the anti-fun police with this Met team the entire time. Not because I'm an anti-Met. Quite the opposite. I'm positive New York Mets. I'm anti-silly stories that take attention away from the offense and take attention away from what this team's been doing. Who cares about Grimace? Wear a Lindor jersey or a Nimmo jersey and get drunk during the rain delay. Ask questions about how Alvarez has changed the team. Or how Vientos, you can't get him out. But then they do hokey stuff. That concert, we all know it was ridiculous. I did this yesterday. I was on yesterday a little bit from 3 to 7. And I was getting calls from Met fans who thought it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It was. It has nothing to do with why they lost, nor does Grimace have anything to do with they win. But if you're going to make it of all about fun, you're going to have to eat it when the fun comes back to bite you. But ultimately, I believe in this team. And I think what we are going to see over the next 2 weeks is going to have a major impact, obviously, on what this general manager does. And the last thing I would want to see is this BS, eat, have your cake and eat it too, trade away some pieces where you think there's depth. All right, listen, let me tell you, as a Yankee fan, I thought they had outfield depth. I thought they had Stanton. I thought they had Dominguez. We were all praising. Oh, look at how this team's completely different. Look at all the depth they have. They have Grisham on the bench. He never plays. We got Dominguez waiting to come back. How quickly depth can change. You either go for it or you don't. You don't half-ass it. And I'm hearing way too much about that being a plausible possibility. It's stupid. Go for it. Trade your prospects. Or don't. And just let it hang out. Trust your bullpen. See if Diaz comes back to being one of the best relievers in baseball like he was 2 years ago. And take your chances. But I can't. When they look like one of the most dangerous teams in the National League, I can't trade Severino because I have Senga coming back. I can't trade these guys because possibly I could just throw Scott and Budo in there like they're some sort of proven commodity. I'd rather transition one of those guys to the bullpen than necessarily trade away Severino and replace him. I like this team too much. I'm impressed with this team too much. They've got one glaring weakness. Go out there and fix it. Don't open up more weaknesses to do it. And yeah, don't put on stupid concerts. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Yankees as well. As Gleyber Torres has awoken, DJ LeMahieu looks different. And I know it's a last place team, but at least getting getting a road split of a four-game series, scoring a bunch of runs, watching Gleyber come alive, and I've been telling you about Gleyber and how important he is, and we're going to get to this in a little bit, how important Gleyber is to this team. I've never wavered from that. I don't think he's going anywhere. Gleyber Torres is the New York Yankees second baseman, ride or die the rest of this year. That's going to be the case. I've never felt differently. They're not going to trade him away now. They're not going to get a better second baseman in here. They're not going to get any value for him. He's staying here. He's the second baseman. Why? Because he's capable of getting multiple hits in three consecutive days. The guy had an 800 OPS last year. They are not giving up on Gleyber Torres for the likes of Oswaldo Cabrera. It's not going to happen. And to watch him is... him and LeMahieu actually come through, show some emotion. The whole team shows some emotion. We'll get to the Stroman stuff and how that entire game felt and how much it felt like they needed some sort of intensity.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right. McMonagle here with you, 128. On this first day of July already, it's unbelievable. I talk about this a lot. For whatever reason, when I was a kid, my school year would end, like when I was a young kid, like elementary school, maybe the first couple years of high school. I didn't have a middle school where I grew up. We went from elementary school to high school. High school was 7 to 12. But... right, you know, fifth grade to seventh or eighth grade, I just remember school would be done a lot earlier than my kids are done. And I would be done by the 15th or the 16th or something of June. And the 4th of July felt like the halfway point of the summer. It was like, oh man, the summer's already half over. It's the 4th of July already. And now it's like, I mean, the 4th of July gets here before you know it. It's already July. It's going to be the 4th of July this week. Time absolutely flies when you get older. It's crazy. And, you know, my kids end school so much later than I did. It's just a weird, different vibe. And then as an adult, it doesn't matter. It's just hot. It's just hot. I base the seasons on what clothes I wear. That's pretty much it. That's how I do it. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Yankees here now as they... find a way not to lose a series. And Gerrit Cole steps up in what was clearly the biggest game of the year as to date. And I'm sure, you know, now Tuesday will be the next biggest game of the year against the Reds. But this was an enormous game. You could not lose 3 out of 4 to the Toronto Blue Jays. You just couldn't. No matter how poorly you're playing, no matter how much it's a struggle right now, you can't go into the last place team. Awake George Springer. Awake Vladimir Guerrero, who maybe we'll get to as a trade chip, who has, you know, Marash is all on it. I got to admit, I was on it 2 weeks ago, Sean. But you can't have him just explode. You can't have George Springer, who is literally one of the worst, if not the worst, everyday player in Major League Baseball, suddenly pound you. IKF, to add insult to injury, absolutely pound you, as he's got better numbers than Anthony Volpe. You had to find a way to win that game with Cole on the mound. It was necessary. And the day before really pissed me off. I got to be honest, the most anger that I've been. And if you've listened to me, you know. and I talked about this yesterday, what bothered me the most, I'm a big momentum guy. Over the course of 162, it comes and goes. It comes and goes, but you have to be able to hold on to the momentum when you have it. I feel like that's what good teams do. That's what bad teams do. Yes, all bad teams will have a winning streak. All good teams will have a losing streak. But ultimately, if you watch 162, you feed on the positive vibes. Right now, the Mets, and we'll see if they can bounce back. That's why, you know, this game tonight is going to be an important game against the Nationals in Washington. You have to keep going. You have to bounce back. You cannot let the momentum switch. You got to keep up this grimace, oh my God, whatever you want to call it, or just how about good Met baseball and potent offense. You got to keep it up because it can quickly turn. And the New York Yankees have had zero momentum, zero. And that game on Friday night finally opened up something inside the team. And it was funny, too, because I remember I was watching it. And as Stroman is yelling, obviously Stroman is pissed off, right? Stroman didn't have a great start. Didn't have a terrible start, but didn't have a good one. Not compared to what we've seen this year. And obviously he is all over Glaber. All over Glaber. There's a ground ball that gets through the hole earlier in the inning. He's pissed off about that. And then there's the double play that doesn't get turned, and he's obviously pissed off about that. And he's yelling visibly. You don't need John Boy to read the lips. You know exactly what he's saying. Then he goes into the dugout after leaving the game, and he's talking about intensity. And you can tell he is pissed at Glaber. He's just pissed. And I remember thinking, okay, Boone, this team is falling apart. At the time they're losing the game, this team's falling apart. This is going to be the first real crisis inside the locker room that I can remember, at least, that the team is going to have to face. Sure, he's had to face losing baseball and trying to turn things around, sure. But he's never had it where the night before Rodon is yelling at young Ben Rice for not making a play and letting a little squibber hit the bag and really help unravel the inning. And now the next night, you got Stroman, a starting pitcher who's been great for you all year, suddenly screaming at Gleyber Torres, who everybody wants to scream at over the first half of the season. And it just felt like, boy, in that moment, I was like, Jesus, not only are they losing, they are falling apart. This is going to be a major issue Boone's going to have to deal with. And then Soto hits that home run and changed everything. Suddenly, all the things I was in my mind thinking were negatives were suddenly positives. Suddenly I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe they needed this. Maybe they needed someone to show a level of anger that equals what we as the fan base has felt. Maybe someone needed to show that they care and manifest it in anger instead of sadness, manifest it in fieriness instead of moping, which is what they've so typically done. Going back to Gary Sanchez, I mean, Gleyber Torres, you've seen the pictures of the day he got benched. He's just head in hand, staring out. He looks like he's miserable. Rodon tearing up in the dugout. Like, it just, this, the body language is moping. The body language is woe is me. The body language is I suck. Like, that's the body language instead of screw this and anger. And in one moment, I thought that it was going to be a major problem for the team. And then suddenly that home run and winning changes everything. And then I'm thinking, hey, maybe Stroman did this on purpose to make Gleyber Torres a sympathetic figure. There's only one way to turn the fan base around on him. The guy the fan base didn't want here. The guy the fan base is, you know, waiting for a reason to be pissed at. The guy the fan base has been all over on social media throughout the years. He's suddenly the bad guy, getting on Gleyber. Glaber's the good guy, and everybody's behind the guy again. I was like, maybe this is all just one big con. And whatever it was, Gleyber has awoken. He's got multiple hits in all three games since. He got the big home run that just felt like it also just cleared everything off of his shoulder. They score a ton of runs. LeMahieu's coming through. They score all these runs. They score 16 runs, pound the Toronto Blue Jays, and it just felt like, oh, that was more than just a win that they needed. It felt like a cleansing. Like, that needed to happen. And then to follow it up with getting beat again and having it 9-3 and being blown out and watching Vladimir Guerrero clear the bases with a double on a ball that damn near hit the ground, it was just like, they can't keep momentum. That's what bad teams do. They can't keep the momentum. And so that's why they needed their ace, their stopper, to go out there and have a great start. And more than that, they needed the world's best hitter to go out there and give them a lead. And obviously the game starts with the late notice earlier in the morning. I find, you know, Soto's not playing, and you're like, oh, Jesus. I mean, that hurt the momentum of the other game, too. Like, they win that game, and suddenly, you know, he's not in the lineup the next day, and you're like, oh, Jesus. He hurt his hand on the slide of, you know, they can't even do anything right without getting hurt. They make that unbelievable base running play. You know, Aaron Judge backpedals until they score at home. It was just a brilliant, smart, you know, kind of small ball, baseball IQ kind of play. And even that leads to an injury. So he's gone. He's missing the next day. There's going to be imaging in New York and blah. And then, boom, you find out he's actually playing the game. He gets a base hit in his first at bat. And then Judge hits one off the center field backdrop. And just, they had gone 10 games in a row with falling behind to start the game. You can't play like that. While this team is flailing, while this starting pitching is going through its worst turn of the season after being great all year, you needed some positive vibes to start a game. And for Judge to hit one off the wall, honestly, just immediately made you feel a little bit better about the game. And then Cole, who needed a good start, just desperately needed to show that it's not just a matter of, you know, like, he's got to, it can't just be forever. Like, we know that he's coming back, and we know that he's still building up, and we know he's on a pitch count, but he's also got to pitch good. Right? There's no reason he can't pitch well. And to get that start, and then to have Gleyber suddenly snap out of it, and I'm telling you right now, I've been saying this, I don't care what anybody says. You want to say he plays with lack of emotion, you want to say he plays without the intensity, you want to, and that's what Stroman said. So I think it comes off in the way he operates and the way he plays very much like, there have been other guys we've said this about. We've said this about Robinson Cano, we said this about Carlos Beltran. The difference is, those players had Hall of Fame credentials. Carlos Beltran probably will get in the Hall of Fame. Unfortunately for Robinson Cano with the steroids, he's not going to get in the Hall of Fame, but he's one of the better offensive second basemen in the sport's history. So it's okay. You can't be hitting 220 and be Gleyber Torres playing the smooth and, you know, non-passionate type of baseball that certain players play with. You can't play that casual doing what he's doing and performing the way he's performing. And he needed those 2 days. And I want to hear someone. Call me up. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Someone. Give Boone some damn credit. Because I was listening to Sean as I'm driving in. And he's doing everything on earth to give Marcus Stroman all the credit. He woke up Gleyber. And I just said, I thought in the moment it was having some fun with it. But, oh, Stroman woke him up. How about benching him for 2 days? Because he didn't have to, right? He didn't have to. Everybody's so quick to blame Boone. Whenever anything goes wrong, he makes a decision that doesn't work out, we're all over him. He didn't have to. He could have just said, no, we're playing through this slump. He's right there. He's a day off. I don't want to give him a break. I don't want to let him wallow in it. Let's just keep throwing him out there until he gets it. He didn't have to sit him for 2 days. He did, and it clearly either resonated with him, gave him some time off, allowed him to clear his head. But, and I don't know if it's going to continue. I don't know what kind of season Gleyber Torres is going to have, but watch the games. Watch him play. When Gleyber Torres is hitting, when Gleyber Torres is going the other way, when Gleyber Torres is hitting line drives, when Gleyber Torres is in the middle of things, this Yankee team is far better. They need that other guy in the lineup. And if it's not going to be Verdugo at a time, and certainly stands down against left-handed pitching in particular, they desperately need Gleyber Torres. He's going nowhere. And I'm frustrated with him, and you're frustrated with him. I don't know if he's a winning player. You think he's a losing player. That's all fine. Next year, he won't be a Yankee, and that's the right move. Gleyber Torres has not played well enough to warrant bringing him back. But that doesn't change what this year is. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to move him. There's nothing to do with him. And you're not going to get better. He needs to be here. He needs to play. He is the second baseman. And he needs to do what he's done over the last 3 days. And watching it finally happening, watching DJ LeMahieu hit one in the gap to give them a 7-1 lead and pump his fist at second base and show some emotion, it just felt like, as much as this is, hey, there's a lot of bad things that happened in this series. And as much as this is the Toronto Blue Jays who are having a terrible year, and you went into that building and allowed Vladimir Guerrero to absolutely walk up and down all over you, you allowed George Springer, having the worst year of his career and hitting under 200 heading into the series, walk all over you. You allowed the IKF, who you jettisoned, who this Yankee team wanted nothing to do with, who the fan base was screaming at his father leaving playoff games. You allowed him to come out and absolutely demolish you. There's a lot still of issues with this team. The bullpen is still a problem. The starting rotation, other than Gerrit Cole, is still a problem. But at least we saw some signs of some key guys breaking out. Now, they're going to have to continue to do it. They're going to have to build on this momentum. Today's the word of the day is momentum. They're going to have to build on this momentum, take it in against against Cincinnati, and figure out a way to keep the winning ways going. That's it. Because I ultimately do believe in this team. I do. And they have a month. The difference between it, everyone keeps trying to bring up 2022. Oh, it's the same thing. There's one guy in particular that keeps showing me the records of the first half and the second half over the last 3 years. I get it. But the difference is this team has the trade deadline. That 2022 team fell apart after the deadline. Their deadline acquisitions got hurt. They know what their weaknesses are. And they have the trade deadline to go do it. And it's going to be up to Brian Cashman to figure it out. They got Efros coming back to help the bullpen. I guess we could have a conversation at 888-808-1019 about Luis Gil and transitioning him to the bullpen, if that's going to be a problem, if he's fatigued. But ultimately, they have all the answers. They have it either in-house with hopefully Dominguez coming back, with Stanton coming back, even John Birdie coming back. And then they have the answers in Brian Cashman to go out there at the trade deadline and bolster this team. They still need more bats. I think now they're open, you would have to be, to a starting pitcher. I think that is now, and that's going to be the key here for me at the trade deadline. Because you have to get impact players. I heard Evan, I don't know if I agree with just getting a bunch and hoping some, getting a bunch of mediocre guys and hoping someone takes off the way, you know, Jacques Peterson and Jorge Soler did for the Braves in 21. I want impact players. And if they get to a deadline where a lot of teams aren't looking to sell and a ton of teams are looking to buy, and especially relievers, if they get to a point where it looks like an impact player might be easier to get in the starting rotation, well, I think that's where you're going to have to see Brian Cashman pivot and maybe do what I would have hated to do 2 weeks ago and go get the starting pitcher you feel like you could put towards the top of the rotation and then transition Luis Gil to a bullpen. And have that swing and miss type stuff, have that fastball and changeup combination in the back end of your pen, limit his innings, get him ready for next year, pull the whole, you know, whether it's Jabba Chamberlain or Phil Hughes, who helped win them a championship in 09, going to the bullpen. Like, maybe that's the way to go about it. But Brian Cashman's going to have to figure out something, because we know what this team needs, and we know they have to get it done, because this is the year. With Aaron Judge, again, giving you an MVP, all-world, greatest hitter we've ever seen, triple crown threat type season. You cannot let it go by. You cannot let it go by when we don't know what's going to happen with Juan Soto. We have no idea where he's going to be next year. And you have another year of Judge, as of now, healthy and performing at a level that's ungodly. That can't be wasted again. So both of these teams have interesting next couple of weeks leading into the trade deadline. I think we know what the Yankees need. I think we know what the Mets need. The question is, how will the Mets attack it? Because I hate the idea of buying and selling. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. We'll take some of your baseball calls. We'll find out if anything happens over the course of this early morning in the NBA free agency. I guess Hartenstein has met with the Thunder. And listen, the Thunder and other teams are going to be able to give Hartenstein more money. It's just a matter of, can the Knicks give him anything that would come close to something he'd be willing to take to come here and make it work? It sounds like Paul George is going to be a 76er. What does that mean for the Knicks? Where does this put them in the standings of the Eastern Conference? Where just, I saw a list 2 days ago put out. The Knicks are the second, right now, they're the second ranked team in the Eastern Conference. What would a Paul George coming to Philadelphia do now that Harden is re-signed to a two-year contract? And we'll see if anything else shakes out on that front. The Rangers making moves. The Trouba situation is fascinating. As we get free agency in both those sports, and of course, baseball continues. And yes, the Giants, I told you yesterday, after watching that trailer, they're going to try and sell you hard on Daniel Jones. Like, that's what I think is coming from this offseason edition, especially with the Giants having editorial control. You're going to hear nothing about them wanting to trade up. You're going to hear nothing about them talking about Drake May. You're going to hear nothing other than Daniel Jones, we trust. Just remember, it's a TV show.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They've done it against the Atlanta Braves. They've come from 7 runs down here at the bottom of the 8th inning. They lead it 11-8. Incredible. Piazza with his 22nd home run of the year. And this place is absolute bedlam here at Shea.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Nick Monagle here with you on The Fan. As the show ended for Sean, he was talking about the House of Dragons, the prequel to Game of Thrones that I thought was excellent last year. And me and my wife were all excited for the second season. It only took, I think it was 13 years ago the first season aired. And then now it's been 13 years since. It took forever. I think sarcasm was lost. Alex gave me a look like, what are you talking about?
I'm
being sarcastic. It took forever between seasons.
Was wondering when you started watching Game of Thrones.
Oh, I started watching Game of Thrones pretty much right when it came out, I think.
I was a late bloomer. Yeah. I started as soon as season 7 started.
Oh, you're a late bloomer.
Yeah, as season 7 started, and then I caught up to one season 7 finale aired. I was on, up to that.
Jeez, so you steamrolled through it.
I don't know. I did like one or two episodes a night.
Yeah, that's steam for me. I don't have
really?
Time. Yeah, one or two a night. I don't have any time to watch anything. I went to the movie theater today and saw Inside Out 2.
How was
that?
The kids.
It was excellent. Inside Out is one of the more interesting, well thought out, well written Disney Pixar movies I've ever seen. Both of them are so well, like the way they're able to put their, obviously, I mean, it's their own hint on it, you know, little twinge on it. It's not, I mean, we don't know how the human brain works exactly, but the way they characterize how emotions control a person and how memories affect them and how difficult it is to deal with these things, like with core memories and these, like the way they put things in the back of the mind and islands are built, like all of it is very, very clever. There's just, it's extremely clever. And to see, you know, the way they put these emotions together, it's funny. It was well done. They had a couple of different bits about making fun of like kid TV shows. I thought it was hysterical. I liked them. I like both of them. They're very, very good. So if you have a chance to take the kids to go see Inside Out, it's very good. And then just as a person, like to come up with a succinct way of how they feel the human mind works and to put it in a way where you feel like kids understand what they're saying, it's remarkable. It really is. It was really, really, that movie's really well done. But I was talking about that, the House of Dragons. I was so pumped for it. It took forever. It's got to be at least 2 years since the final episode of season 1 aired. It took forever to get back. And I got to tell you, I have never been more disappointed in a TV show ever. Nothing has happened. It's three episodes. It's an absolute snooze fest. I am bored watching it. I can't tell you how bored I am. Maybe it's because it's been 2 years. And look, a lot of like plot altering things have happened, I suppose. Like big, like things that are going to impact the story, but just, I mean, nothing. A lot of conversations, a couple of like intense moments, I suppose, but I've been absolutely bored to tears with it. It's one of the more disappointing second seasons ever off of a great first season. I thought it was excellent. I love the first season. This season stinks. It is awful. I told my wife last night, we were watching it. I was like, I'm going to go up. I had to go upstairs and take care of something with the laundry. I'm just going to go upstairs and do that. Let me know if anything interesting happens. Like I walked away from it for 20 minutes. Like I didn't care. I'm so disappointed with House of Dragons. Just terrible. I would much rather watch Inside Out than House of Dragons right now. There's no doubt. No doubt. And I don't get a lot of TV. That's the thing. Me and my wife don't get a lot of TV. Don't you know that we're single-handedly picking you, House of Dragons? That I have almost no time to myself, and that me and my wife watching a television show is extremely rare these days. I got to watch all these baseball games. I got to watch everything that's going on. We got the kids. I got to drive into work at 10 o'clock at night. We get nothing. Nothing. And yet we chose you, and you have failed. You have failed us. Failed. Disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourself, HBO. Ashamed. Although everything else is pretty good. HBO, if HBO comes out with a new show, you know you got to try it. But this House of Dragons season is really starting to piss me off. 888-808-1019. Nothing happens. 888-808-1019. And listen, to talk about the Mets just again real quick and the stupid song, I know people are going to get hung up on it. I get it. And now we're going to have this debate on whether or not it actually is the turning point and, you know, in all nonsense. But I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot, right? We've seen the Super Bowl shuffle. I don't think it's aged very well. We've seen a lot. I don't know if I have ever seen, right? And forget how good the song is or not. Like we're debating if the song, it's a decent song. Does it sound like something I would hear on the radio? Absolutely. If that just came on in the car as I was flipping stations, I might listen to it, but I certainly wouldn't go, what the hell is this? Like, that's a legit song. And I guess it's number one in the Latin pop chart. It's a legit song. He sounds good singing it. Love the song. Love everything about it. Love all the different stuff they were doing. I love playing it after home runs. I love the team, the camaraderie at the event at Citi Field. After home runs, holding up the OMG signs, on board with all of that. I have seen so many more dumb, like the Yankees just played the Blue Jays. They put on this stupid jacket and run through the dugout. All right, weren't the Red Sox putting themselves in shopping carts? Like, there's so many dumb things teams do. Nothing wrong with Oh My God and the song and holding up signs. Love it, love it, love it. You can't go out there after a win. What if they would have lost that night? Would they still have done it? If they lost to the Astros, are they doing that concert that night on firework night? But you go out there, and I got to see this whole team do this, you know, and particularly Pete Alonso is staring you right in the face. I don't know how you didn't gravitate towards him. If you're watching that, I don't know how your eyes didn't just focus on doofy Pete Alonso and his inability to clap in rhythm. Like, I love Pete. I think Pete should be a Met. I think they should re-sign Pete. I think he's one hell of a player, and you don't let this kind of homegrown player go. I've been saying that forever. I still feel that way. But he's a little bit doofy. He comes off like that a little bit. And to watch that whole thing, the entire team laughing, and he's doing he doesn't know whether or not to really do the concert or not. Then the whole team gets there on the mound, and you got Pete Alonso dancing and clapping off beat. It just was ridiculous. It looked absolutely ridiculous. Like, it just, and I don't know, like, I got a bunch of tweets. Can you imagine Derek Jeter doing this? Can you imagine Andy Pettit doing this? And I'm like, I don't know. No, probably not. And thankfully, thankfully it would have to be in my imagination, and I don't have tape of it. Because watching that was, I mean, it was just dopey. It was just dopey, over the top, stupid. I don't think the Astros were awakened by it. Like the idea that somehow pissed off the Astros. Sure, the Astros were in there, you know. Sure, the Astros were in there enjoying it. Plus, all the microphones they left on the field, they probably had a good sound in the clubhouse of it. I mean, if they don't like banging drums, I don't know who does. So I'm sure the Astros really got a kick out of the song, but I don't think that motivates the Astros. The Astros happen to be one of the hotter teams in baseball. They caught the Astros at a time where the offense has finally woken up. The bullpen at the back end still has some good arms in it. And the starting pitching has gotten them through. Although, you know, the Mets still put a number on Valdez. The Mets still hit Blanco. Like, they've done a really nice job despite losing these two games. They have one glaring error. They have one hole in this team. And I'm not taking away from the strength of this team to fix it. Well, I'm just not.